Before I read, I just want to say a brief word about this text. Jesus goes into the synagogue at Capernaum, and a demonic presence there reveals itself. I was reading the other day an article written by someone, written by a journalist in the UK, and this journalist was going on and on about how weird American evangelical Christians are because they still believe in demons. And it was kind of, well, it was a little bit refreshing, frankly, to be called weird. And we figure we're doing something right. But let me just say a word. Demons are very real. Genuine demon possession is extremely rare. But it's not surprising that it reared its head frequently when Jesus was here in the flesh among us. I believe strongly that to be a Christian, you have to be a two-person world. I mean, you have to be a person who believes in two worlds. There's a visible world and there's an invisible world. And the invisible world, we can't see God, right? But we know God is real. And we know Christ is present with us in this moment, because we're gathered in his name. We can't see him. And in the same way, there are evil. There are demonic forces, satanic forces that we don't see but are very real. So, hear now the word of God from Mark chapter 1, beginning with verse 21. And they went into Capernaum, and immediately on the Sabbath, Jesus entered the synagogue and was teaching. And they were astonished at his teaching, for he taught them as one who had authority and not as their scribes. And immediately there was in their synagogue a man with an unclean spirit, and he cried out, "What have you to do with us, Jesus of Nazareth? Have you come to destroy us? I know who you are, the Holy One of God." But Jesus rebuked him, saying, "Be silent and come out of him." And the unclean spirit, convulsing him and crying out with a loud voice, came out of him. And they were all amazed, so that they questioned among themselves, saying, "What is this? A new teaching with authority. He commands even the unclean spirits, and they obey him." And at once his fame spread everywhere throughout all the surrounding region of Galilee. This is the word of the Lord. Would you bow with me for prayer? Oh God, may the words of my mouth and the meditation of all our hearts be acceptable in your sight. Oh God, our rock and our redeemer. Amen. The great theme of the opening of Mark's gospel is the authority of Jesus Christ, the unrivaled, unmatched authority of Jesus Christ. It begins with John the Baptist saying, "Prepare the way of the Lord. Make a straight path for him." And then John the Baptist said, "After me comes one who is mightier than I." And John was an impressive guy. He said, "After me comes one who is mightier than I. I'm not worthy to stoop down and tie his shoes." And then Jesus is baptized, and the voice of the Father from heaven says, "This is my Son, my beloved, whom I love. Once again, the authority of Jesus. And when Jesus begins his public ministry, Mark again underlines his authority. The first words out of the mouth of Jesus, he says, "The time is fulfilled. The kingdom of God is at hand. Repent and believe the good news." Now, who has the kind of authority to make that kind of a proclamation? When Jesus called his disciples, he simply said, "Follow me." And Mark uses his favorite word, immediately. Immediately, they dropped their nets and they followed. Well, now we come to the village of Capernaum. It was the home base of the ministry of Jesus in Galilee in the early portion of his ministry. Capernaum is a little fishing village. It's still there, by the way. Capernaum is a little fishing village on the northern coast of the Sea of Galilee. And it's here that we get our first glimpse of Rabbi Jesus. Now, just a word about rabbis at that time. Rabbis were not considered clergy. It was not like being a priest. So it wasn't like Jesus is Reverend Jesus. And also for rabbis, there was no set or prescribed training program. There was no set or prescribed set of process of credentialing. It was pretty informal. If somebody started teaching Scripture and got a following, they would be considered a rabbi. Well, Jesus has started his teaching work. He's called some followers who were with him, and so it's just a matter of courtesy that he would be invited to teach in the synagogue. Now, as a new rabbi on the scene, once again, Jesus is given the honor of teaching. And as soon as he began to teach, it became apparent that there was really something unique about him. That as Mark says, that he taught as one who had authority and not as their scribes. Now, the scribes were learned people. Being a scribe meant that they could write, which not everybody could do. They were the, until Jesus came along anywhere, they were considered the authorities on the law of God. But their words had become predictable and lifeless and powerless. They actually had no authority. The practice of the scribes was the teaching method of the scribes is they would teach from the Torah, the five books of Moses, the law of God, but they would teach by quoting the Mishnah over and over again. You may have heard that term before, the Mishnah. And the Mishnah was commentary, and especially it was additional rules added on to the rules that are given us, the laws that are given us in the Old Testament. And the Mishnah was basically a long, long, long compendium of very tedious rules and regulations. I was trying to think of something to which I could compare it. And so I'm going to commit a Presbyterian sacrilege and compare it to the Book of Order of the Presbyterian Church. I love the Book of Order, by the way. It's the constitution of our church. It's not exactly exciting reading. It's very useful, and it's got a lot of wisdom in it. But, read it if you need a good nap. And the Mishnah made the Book of Order like a spy novel. I mean, the Mishnah was tedious beyond compare. And I'll just give you some examples of the way scribal teaching would go. The scribes taught by relying on some long-dead rabbi who was quoted in the Mishnah. And just as a for instance, a scribe might say something like, "The Torah says you shall do no work on the Sabbath." And Rabbi Meyer says you shall not drag a stick on the Sabbath because that's plowing and that's work. And Rabbi Hillel said you shall not spit on the ground on the Sabbath because that makes mud and mud can be used for mortar and that's work. And it would go on and on. But Jesus said things like this. He said, "You have heard it said in Scripture, you shall not murder. But I say to you, anyone who is angry with his brother will be liable to the judgment." I say to you, do you hear what he's doing? He's adding his words to the Word of God. Who does he think he is? He wasn't just commenting. So it's no wonder they were astonished at his teaching. Well, it wasn't tedious because Jesus was teaching. So that had already broken the tedium, but then it really got broken. There was something hiding in that synagogue, something dark and evil and sinister. And when Jesus went into that synagogue and began to teach with authority, just by his presence asserting his authority, this dark presence that's been hiding reveals itself. A man who was held captive, Mark calls it an unclean spirit. He doesn't use the word demon. He calls it an unclean spirit, but we can surmise other places in the New Testament uses the term demon. This unclean spirit cries out, verse 24, "What have you to do with us, Jesus of Nazareth? Have you come to destroy us? I know who you are, the Holy One of God." I remember years ago reading a scholarly commentary on the Gospel of Mark that the particular scholar that had written this book commented about how strange and unpredictable it was that this demon pops up in the synagogue. And I couldn't help but think as I was reading that, this guy hasn't spent very much time in church, has he? Why? Ask yourself why. Why over the centuries has there been so much conflict and division in the church? Why is it so often the church is a scene of backbiting and gossip and division? Now, I'm not saying Christians are demon-possessed. And by the way, Christians cannot be demon-possessed. But I'm saying that forces of evil target the people of God. Not surprising at all that a demon pops up in the middle of the synagogue. It's very easy to let darkness creep in and subtly take control, and before we know it, dark and sinister forces have us neutralized. But isn't it wonderful that when Jesus comes on the scene, his authority immediately flushes this being out of the darkness and into the light. And this spirit is afraid. It says, "Have you come to destroy us?" But it's not going to give up without a fight. Now, in biblical thinking, if you can name something, you have authority over it. Think back when, in the book of Genesis, when it tells us that Adam named all the animals. And God gives him that responsibility to show his dominion, because God gave human beings dominion over all the creatures, right? If you can name something, you're trying to control it. So when this unclean spirit says, "Jesus of Nazareth, I know who you are, the Holy One of God," he's not making a, this demon is not making a profession of faith. He's picking a fight. He's attempting to assert authority over Jesus. This synagogue is his territory. And he's saying, "I've got these people, Jesus. They're mine. Get out." Nothing of God is going to happen here. They're just going to go right on walking through the motions of lifeless religion. Jesus rebuked him, rebuked the demon. "Be silent and come out of him." In the person of Jesus, the kingly reign of God has come among us. Remember the first words out of his mouth: "The time is fulfilled. The kingdom of God is at hand." What does it mean when something's at hand? It's so close you can reach out and touch. Jesus said the kingdom of, Jesus was saying God's kingdom in his person, the kingly reign of God is coming into the world and asserting his authority. And where God's kingdom comes, where Jesus comes, the kingdom of Satan is routed and expelled, driven out. Well, when the people of the synagogue saw this man liberated, they were amazed, and they asked a question. Verse 27, "What is this? A new teaching with authority. He commands even unclean spirits and they obey him." Now, the congregation asked almost the right question. They said, "What is this?" But the real question, the question that I think Mark, in telling this and recording this incident for us, that Mark wants us to ask is not what is this, but who is this? Who is this guy, Jesus, with this amazing authority that he commands even unclean spirits and they obey him? Jesus is not a what, but a who. For centuries, the people of God in that synagogue and their ancestors before them for centuries had been fed on a thin diet of what? A thin diet of religion and going through the motions. There was a lot of what in the Mishnah. And there's actually a lot of wisdom in it too. I was making a joke about it earlier, but there is a lot of wisdom in it. But it's still not a who, it's a what. It was very wise, but it didn't work. It didn't transform anybody. It didn't change anybody's life. None of it could silence the guilt that came from knowing that they weren't living up to the standards of God's law and the Mishnah. All that those layers of law could do was just pile up and pile up and pile up and be a standing accusation against every life. And then Jesus showed up and he transformed everything. His presence, his authority. His presence and authority banishes evil and gives life. God, the Holy One, had come to them right there in the middle of this very ordinary religious gathering. Now, I want us to really mark this carefully. According to Mark's gospel, the victory of Jesus Christ over evil began at an ordinary Saturday morning. It began in an ordinary gathering of believers when Jesus showed up. They were astonished and amazed at the presence of Jesus. Now, we gather here every Sunday, and I'll confess, you know, we work hard at putting together a quality worship service, but I'm sure sometimes it gets a little tedious. And we do a lot of the same things over and over again. It can get pretty predictable. By the way, I know where every one of you is going to sit before you come in. We're creatures of habit. We take our usual chairs and then we sing familiar songs and we sing familiar hymns and we say the creed, which many of us have memorized from the time we were children. We say the Lord's Prayer. And I'll confess that sometimes I can get from Our Father to Amen without a conscious thought going through my mind. It just rolls off the tongue. Sometimes life wears us down and we become numb to God. And we bring our numbness into church and we go through the motions. Sometimes it sounds like just a mountain of words, and maybe it sounds like a lot of do's and don'ts. Maybe today there's something dark holding you captive, and you can't break free of it on your own. Let me give you some good news. Jesus Christ still shows up everywhere he's invited. And he's still asserting his authority. And he's still interrupting worship services with the mighty power of the Holy One of God. He's here with authority to liberate and give life. We are not here for religion, which is a what. We're here for a who. There's a living one at the center of our worship every week. And we belong to him. And he is so faithful. He promised that wherever two or three gather in his name, there he would come. And there he would be. And he is so faithful. And there is no power of evil that can stand against him. There is no captivity that can resist him. There's no darkness that puts him off. Jesus Christ was a teacher, and a really good one, but so much more than a teacher. He didn't just teach about God, he is God in the flesh. He didn't just teach that God saves. He accomplished salvation by going to the cross and giving up his life on the cross for us and then rising from the dead for us. You see, it's not about a what, it's about who. It's about Jesus. Jesus Christ has the authority to bring the power of God into your life, into our fellowship. Trust him once again today. Open your heart to him once again today. Let him come in. Let's bow together in prayer. Lord Jesus, we thank you for the mighty authority that you asserted in that synagogue in Capernaum and left everyone there amazed. And just your presence flushed out that evil presence and liberated that man, cast it out of that individual and then out of the synagogue. Lord Jesus, everywhere you go, you bring life, and we thank you that you're still doing that today, that you faithfully are here in our worship. We pray together, Lord. May your mighty authority reign here and in every gathering of believers throughout this valley. Flush out anything that is evil and dark. And especially, Lord, anyone who is held captive to any kind of darkness, I pray right now in this moment, break the power of that darkness. Break its hold on any person. Lord, you so faithfully liberate and set free. And we submit ourselves to you. In your strong name, Lord Jesus, amen.